Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey there, Tech Stuff listeners. This is Jonathan Strickland, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about something cool going on at How Stuff Works right now. I know all of you guys are really creative, and you love technology. Well, now you can show us what you're made of, because Toyota is sponsoring a new photo upload widget over at HowStuffWorks.com. You can share your gadget ideas, modifications, hacks, some great tech ideas. Show us what you're made of. Let us know how creative you are. You can go to howstuffworks.com/upgrade your tech and upload those photos now. We want to see what you got.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from howstuffworks.com.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at howstuffworks.com. Sitting across from me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there.
And I want to warn you all, today's episode may be graphic.
That's correct. It's about graphics cards. We have received lots of questions and requests for us to do an episode about graphics cards, some of which hounded us through multiple forms of media. And so today, you get your wish. We're going to talk about graphics cards. These are the things that got me into console gaming. Which is true. No, so, Chris, you and I remember, I mean, we were both using computers during the 90s.
Yes.
When there was the kind of a revolution in personal computers where an independent secondary graphics card became a necessity if you wanted to stay up to date with the latest games that were coming out.
Yeah, I remember with my very first Amiga how they would talk about there were secondary chips on the motherboard that would handle additional operations, not just the one processor. And I think it probably seems silly to a lot of us now. Like, oh, well, of course, you know, that would be important. But, you know, as computing has gone on, we've realized some that although you have, you know, Moore's Law, which basically just, you know, talks about computing power growing exponentially, and you say, well, okay, you know, you've got more and more powerful computers, but we've realized over that time too that although you may have more powerful processors, dividing tasks up between multiple processors is a better way to compute because you can accomplish more when you divide up these jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's more efficient that way. It's very simple.
Yeah, so a graphics card job essentially is to really manipulate computer memory at a very rapid rate so that information coming in can be converted into graphic information that's going to be displayed upon a monitor of some sort.
Yeah, and it's almost its own computer.
Yeah, it's own processor, certainly.
Yes.
And the idea is that this takes some of that burden from the CPU and it shoulders it itself so that the CPU can sort of become like a manager. The CPU sends the instructions to the GPU, which then takes care of calculations, and it's designed to do that in a very streamlined, fast way. And part of that design is this idea of parallelism, which is what Chris was talking about, where you have your chip created in such a way to process sets of instructions in parallel with each other, because those different sets of instructions don't depend directly on each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about a computer problem, one type of computer problem could be an ongoing calculation where the outcome of the previous calculation determines what the next calculation will be,
mm-hmm.
right? So we'll just say that for the first calculation, we're going to do something really simple. Just for example, say that the first calculation is 2 plus 2 and the output is 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 4 from that first calculation is used in the second calculation where you have another variable. We'll say that for the purposes of this problem, that variable is going to be 8. And whatever the product, whatever the sum is from that first calculation gets added to 8. So the second calculation depends upon the outcome of the first one. So 2 plus 2 is 4. Oh, well, now I've got the sum of that first calculation, 4. I can now add that to 8 to get 12, and so on and so forth. Well, with all those calculations depending upon one another, having a single processor makes sense. You can't really divide that up because you don't know what the outcome is going to be of a previous calculation. So you can't move forward until you get that.
Right.
But there are other computer problems, which we have talked about several times on this podcast, that you can divide up because they are not interdependent that way,
mm-hmm.
and have a processor or several processors work on that on those problems, and the outcome ends up creating whatever it is you need. And in that case, the GPU design was meant to do that. So we had parallel processors with GPUs well before you started seeing multi-cores in consumer computers.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, if you run across computers that offer perpendicular processing, I don't recommend it. I wasted a lot of money once. Anyway.
You're being so obtuse.
Actually, when you look at the parts of a graphics card, again, they seem rather, you know, common sense. You've got a graphics card is its own motherboard.
Yeah.
It has its own processor on it, and its own memory. You may actually see, you know, specifications. I remember seeing specifications for how much VRAM, video RAM, or graphics memory.
Yeah.
That's all part of what you see on the graphics card. And some graphics cards are, you know, customizable. You can add memory. Depends on your computer, of course, and all of that.
But, yeah, and also depend the type of graphics card you use depends heavily upon the kind of motherboard your computer has.
That's true. That's true.
Not all motherboards can support all graphics cards. It mm-hmm. depends on, especially if you have an older computer. There comes a point with older computers where the newest video cards the old motherboards can't support them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing to keep in mind, that the motherboard, your computer's motherboard has a shelf life, really. And at some point, it does become obsolete, at least in comparison to the latest hardware that comes – or the latest components that are out on the market.
Mm-hmm. And basically, I can't think of a computer that doesn't have a video output of some kind on it, even laptops or ultrabooks, you know, things that are designed to have fewer ports and things because it's streamlined. Mm-hmm. Even those machines generally have some kind of video output. Of course, the main one on those would be at their own screen. But coming off of the graphics card, you need to be able to display the results.
Yep.
So, you know, they'll generally have some kind of connector. And, of course, key to this all is your operating system, mm-hmm. because your operating system is what is doing basically the traffic management.
Yeah.
So let's say probably the main reason we talk about graphics cards these days are for, you know, really three things. Games, high-resolution video editing or you know, graphics photo editing. You know, those are the reasons we really talk about the graphics card. I mean, if you say, yeah, I'm going to surf the web on my computer, you don't go, yeah, but what kind of graphics card you got, man?
I will add a fourth.
A fourth?
Yeah, which has nothing to do with graphics.
Okay.
It's what people have started to use GPUs to do.
Well, I figured we'd talk about that later.
Which goes back to the parallel processing. So the fourth one I would say is parallel processing that does not necessarily go back to video processing.
True.
So, and that can be for lots of different stuff. I know specifically which one you're thinking about, but because we did our episode on password security and talked about how GPUs have been used to help crack passwords mm-hmm. through brute force attacks, but they can also be used to do other parallel processing, not just, you know, cryptography.
No, that's true because, well, actually, we had talked about it on our podcast about the Mac OS X Snow Leopard.
Yeah.
One of the changes was that they added the ability to send instructions. And that's really what I was sort of getting at with the operating system is, you know, it's, let's say you're playing a game and, you know, you have the game itself, the instructions that are going out about where your character is and where it's moving across the screen. And it's sending other instructions about how to render that on the screen mm-hmm. to the graphics processor card, which takes care of computation for things like the number of polygons that you see on the screen.
Right.
How fast that information can be displayed. So they work in concert through the help of the operating system to manage the rest of the stuff and the graphics specific stuff with the two different cards. And Mac OS X is able, in the newer incarnations of the operating system, is able to and I assume that's true for newer versions of Windows and Linux as well, as you know, able to send instructions to the graphics card. So let's say you are surfing the web and maybe you have a music playing on, you know, music player service, and you got email going on, and you know, 5 or 10 other little things going on in the background. Your calendar software, your graphics card may not be working overtime, so the processing, you know, the operating system goes, "Hey, since you're not busy,
yeah.
can you handle some of these other instructions? Kind of take a load off.
Can you help me move this couch?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it goes in and helps move the couch, so to speak, and take some of the load off the main processor, which is ingenious that any operating system would be able to do that.
Yeah.
And it just so happens I know about that one because we were talking about it in that. But, you know, the operating systems have become so much more sophisticated, and to be able to take advantage of that specifically, to take a load off of the main processor is excellent.
The things that determine how fast a graphics card is – it's more than just the GPU clock speed of the processor. So keep in mind, the heart of this graphics card is a processor we call the GPU,
mm-hmm. the graphics processing unit.
And it's very similar to a CPU. I mean, that its job is to crunch data. It's just in this case, most of the time that data has to do with rendering graphics.
Mm-hmm.
So the clock speed is definitely important. And clock speed, of course, that's, generally speaking, the number of instructions a CPU can carry out within a second.
Yeah.
That's the number of cycles. Because keeping in mind that when I say instruction, really it's really cycles, and some instructions require multiple cycles to complete. I want to make sure I get that out before people are like, well, you know, actually.
And people are going to mention the fact that processors can be overclocked or underclocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, that speed is a rating that the manufacturer gives it that basically says, this will operate the way we've set it up on this board. It will operate at this speed.
It's going to,
and it's a safe speed that's not going to cause the processor processor to overheat.
It falls within certain operating parameters exactly. that are considered to be optimal for that system.
So yeah, it's the rated speed.
Yeah, and just like CPUs, you can overclock GPUs.
Absolutely.
If you want to. In fact, there are a lot of video gamers out there. That's what they do. So that's one thing that determines how fast a video graphics card is able to handle graphics. But that's not the only thing, because you also have to worry about getting information to and from that processor. So the size of the memory bus is really important.
Oh, yes.
The memory bus, this is kind of, you can think of that as sort of like the highway between the memory and the processor. And you want a nice wide highway so that you can shove as much data toward that processor as possible. Because the processor, if it's really fast and is able to handle a lot of instructions, that doesn't matter so much if it can't get the data it needs fast enough. Like, it may just be that, yeah, I'm super smart, but you're giving me math problems at a rate that is, you know, nowhere near my capacity. And so a lot of this power is going to waste. Mm-hmm. So the memory bus is a very important part of that equation.
Yeah, it's
You're
funny.
Smirking.
No, because you said the memory bus is like the highway.
The highway.
And that's the funny part about that is if you're thinking about it in terms, if you made that visual connection too, it's not, it really is, the bus is the connection itself, not
yes,
the vehicle.
Yes.
By
which it's because I was actually thinking of bus in what, in the term.
It's just funny.
I was thinking of it in the right context, not in the vehicular one.
No, I know. I just wanted to make that clear for them.
But also other things that determine the speed include the amount of available memory. Mm-hmm. So that onboard memory that's on that graphics card plays a big part. That's just as true in your computer for general computing purposes. You know, your computer needs a good amount of memory so the CPU does not have to constantly look for the information within your system's hard drive. That slows things down. So keeping more and more data in memory means the CPU doesn't have to consult the hard drive so much, and things just move at a faster clip.
Yeah.
Very important when you're rendering graphics because, you know, you want to be able to render graphics at a really good speed. Humans, like in general, 25 frames per second, that's a good speed for us. It's hard for us to detect problems at anything that's faster than that. But for high, you know, really action-oriented video games with lots of high-speed stuff,
yeah,
60 frames per second is generally considered that's your goal. You want to hit 60 frames per second because you're not going to have too much blurring or artifacts or other problems if you're able to display information at that speed. And so that's really important as well.
Mm-hmm.
The memory clock rate is also important, memory bandwidth. If you're using an ancient system, RAMDAC speed.
Mm.
So RAMDAC, that's when the processor's handling this information, it's all digital, right?
Right.
It's all ones and zeros. Some of us who have older computer systems may have a display that's not digital. We might have an analog display.
Right.
Which mm-hmm. means you have to convert those signals from digital to analog. That's what the RAMDAC's job is. But these days, most displays are digital. If you were to go out and buy a system now, it would have a digital display. Analog just doesn't really, that's not a thing anymore. So it's really for people who have older systems, they would have to worry about the RAMDAC issue. In fact, I'm sure that it's being phased out of almost everything at this point because, why would you be using this older monitor when you could go out and get a new display?
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do.
Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Tune in this week as Captain Atomic takes on the evil of Ramdak.
Yeah. Different Ramdak.
Yes. He will phase him out.
So, and like you were saying, the job of this is to the job that we were intending graphics cards to do, I should say, was to render graphics. And, so like the polygon issue, that's generally speaking, it tends to be, triangles. Per second.
Mm-hmm.
And these little bitty tiny triangles are what make up the various surfaces you see in represented in computer graphics.
Yeah, we're talking primarily three-dimensional type stuff.
Yeah, 3D graphics, so that there's at least an illusion of depth. In fact, that's really where the graphics cards came out of. You know, before that, you might have a GPU in a computer, but it would be incorporated directly onto the motherboard. It wasn't an additional card. Like you said, the Amiga had them.
Yeah.
The Amiga was one of the earliest systems to have its own GPU. Before that, you could have graphics that were vector-based graphics.
Yeah.
Like, the video game Asteroids was vector-based graphics.
And Tempest.
Yeah, these are games.
Battlezone.
Vector versus raster is what we're talking about here. Yes. I love those. We can stop giving examples. But I guess it helps to explain what the difference is between vector graphics and raster graphics.
Yeah, vector graphics are mathematical.
Yeah.
They're like line art.
Exactly. It's geometrical shapes that are based on mathematic, calculations. So these are lines and curves, points. They can be shapes like polygons. And the nice thing about vector graphics is they are really scalable.
Yes.
It's dependent upon what your machine can do, not dependent upon the file. So in other words, a vector graphic at a certain size is going to look just as good or not as good as it will be at a size many, many, many times larger than that. It all depends on the equipment, not on the graphics file.
Well, yeah. Now a raster graphic or bitmapped graphic.
Yes.
Is basically made up of little dots.
Yeah.
And,
that's the way our printers work. That's the way our displays work. So this is raster graphics. That's much more, common.
Yeah. So, well, if you talk about, a good example, I think, for what you were mentioning was photos.
Yeah.
If you've ever taken a photo, put on your computer, and decided you wanted to blow it up, you may notice that it starts to look rather grainy.
Yeah, or blocky.
Or blocky.
You can see little sharp angles where which you know, the outlines of the pixels, really.
Yeah, and what it's doing is the computer is basically having to make up information in between the little dots of information that came with the picture.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going, well, that's kind of green and this kind of orange, so I'll split the difference.
Yeah.
You know, when you make something smaller, it's easy because you're compressing the information. It can go, oh, well, I don't need these pixels, so I'll toss them out.
Yeah.
And, you know, things that you can always shrink a photo without distorting it.
Yeah.
But expanding it is a different question.
And they are resolution vector graphics. Dependent.
Vector graphics aren't like that because when you blow something up, it goes, oh, well, basically it's this point and that point. I'll, you know, do the math. Zoop. It looks fine.
So the games and stuff that we play, those are raster graphics. That's where we've got those images that are made up of pixels. So, you know, that's trying to create a detailed graphic representation of a character, especially a character that's in motion and doing lots of stuff at a good frame rate. That's a pretty intensive process as far as processing power is concerned. And that's why we had companies start to develop graphics cards to help take this load off the onboard graphics chips that computers had, because they just weren't up to the task of processing that amount of information, which meant that if you went out and you had a regular PC, off-the-shelf PC, no additional graphics card other than what the onboard graphics card was, and you come home, plug it in, and you load up that first-person shooter game that's brand new, it would not run very well. You would have to run it at a very low detail quality so that it's having to do fewer polygons on the screen at a time because it just didn't have the processing power to keep up. Or you'd have to really reduce the frame rate so that the actual experience is not as smooth or pleasant. And you might think, wow, this is a terrible game. But really it's because the hardware you're running it on isn't up to the task of running the game at the experience that the game developers intended. So the graphics cards were what allowed you to plug it in, usually in back in the day it was PCI or AGP?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those were the two card slots you would plug them into. Today it's PCI Express almost exclusively, which has got it's a more efficient and faster way of transferring information from a card to the motherboard and out to a display. So you would plug this in, and it was designed to be pretty easy. I mean, relatively speaking, you're not soldering or anything. Opening up a computer case, sliding a card in an expansion slot, screwing it tight so that it's not going to wiggle in the case, close it back up, plug in your peripherals, and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more complicated now because if you're getting a state-of-the-art, fastest possible processor you can get for a GPU, especially if you're getting two of them, because there are a lot of motherboards out there now that support dual graphics cards. Some of these are so powerful that they require more power than what the motherboard can supply.
More power.
Yeah. So they have to plug into your computer's actual power supply, not the motherboard. And particularly if they are so powerful that they have their own onboard fans, the fan used to help distribute the hot air so that the processor does not overheat.
Yeah, well, that's one of the problems that prevent high-end graphics cards from being included with some laptops, which is simply because it's easier to put in a high-end graphics card that requires its own fan in a tower case, really, a tower desktop computer case, because there's simply more room for it.
Yep.
Less room on a laptop in general, less ability to find a way to disperse that extra heat. So not only are you dealing with the main central processing unit, CPU, you're also dealing with the GPU, and you're going, wow, this is going to burn someone's legs off when they put it on their lap.
Yeah,
because I don't really have a good way to disperse this heat.
Or it's going to cause the machine to shut down after 20 minutes of working.
Which is probably not quite as bad as burning somebody, but
no, it's
serious
irritating,
problem.
Irritating, but not disfiguring. So
true.
There's that. You can take that home.
But But yeah, I mean, and also easier to get into a desktop machine to swap a card or add a card.
Yeah.
As you were pointing out, some, you know, support multiple, than it would be necessarily with a laptop, especially something like an Ultrabook that is put together just so that it makes that nice slim form factor.
Yeah, those are pretty much you're out of luck there.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
So, the graphics cards tend to be more of a desktop type of component than laptop, and I mean it for the reasons you pointed out. Which is also one of the reasons why serious hardcore video gamers on the PC tend to prefer desktop setups rather than a laptop. Because Even if you go out and you buy a state-of-the-art gaming laptop right now for thousands of dollars, and it might right now rival the best desktop computers out there, the advantage the desktop computers have is that, in general, their machines are much more customizable and easily modified than laptops.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are exceptions out there, but that's the general rule, and it's a pretty safe one because it tends to be a lot easier to fiddle with stuff that's inside a desktop case because you've got a lot more space there than you do with a laptop. Yeah. There may be cards that a laptop just physically cannot accommodate because there's just not the room. And if you've seen some of these video cards, it's not hard to imagine because some of them look like some of them look like they came straight out of a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Like this looks like it's a magazine clip for a futuristic machine gun or something. Some of them I'm like, wow, I don't know that I have a computer pretty enough to install this thing in? And in fact, some of them, I would argue, the design here, they've created an aesthetic for the video card, which never used to be a concern, right? These were cards that just fit inside a computer case. You never saw them unless you had to open the case. But now we've got these cases that have exposed sides. So suddenly the aesthetic design of the graphics card has become a consideration.
Well, also, people who play a lot of, I would argue this is probably the case for, hardcore serious gamers too, is it's nice that it looks cool because you're buying this, you know, updated graphics card that's going to be able to do all this extra pixel rendering and, you know, you want it to look cool.
Yeah. And some of these graphics cards cost as much or more than video game consoles, which brings me back to the whole thing about saying, you know, video cards are what made me a console gamer. It's not quite as simple as that, but it is very close in the sense that I saw that, you know, because I was there when the video game cards, the standalone graphics cards, started to become a thing.
Yeah.
And I could see that within 6 months to a year, the cards that had been out on the market were no longer able to run the most current games at their ideal settings. And that was a pretty rough wake-up call to me, saying that even if I had saved up the money to buy a video card for my computer and I had swapped it out and I thought, wow, this is an amazing experience, 6 months to a year down the road, I would feel like I'd have to do that all over again just to keep up with the video games that were coming out at that time.
Right, right. It's a constant cycle, or can be a constant cycle, of needing more memory and a new processor and a new graphics processor with more memory.
Yeah.
And having to upgrade one or the other or all of the above.
Right. You eventually get to a point, like we said, where the motherboard can't support the latest graphics card. Then you're like, all right, now I got to get a new, entirely new system.
Yep.
And so now if I were the kind of person who I was constantly building computers, that might not be as big a deal because I could, you know, replace components as I needed to. And one can argue that maybe through the lifetime of a video game PC, you spend less money than you would with a console game, depending upon how much gaming you do, because console games do tend to be more expensive, and they do tend to be more expensive for longer than PC games.
Yep.
PC games get marked down, generally speaking, faster than console games do. Yep. So There is an argument to be made that you could save money over the long term if you are an avid gamer, you buy a lot of games, if you go with a PC gaming rig, especially if you decide to build one yourself as opposed to buying something that was customized off the shelf, like if you actually go out and get the components.
Yeah. It also gives the developer a little bit of an added advantage too, because if they're developing a title for, say, the PlayStation 3, they know exactly what kind of graphics card is in there.
Yeah.
And so they can play to its strengths.
It actually, that was a real problem early on too, is that you would get games that would be compatible with certain graphics cards, but not others.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you might have a state-of-the-art gaming computer back in the mid-90s and then find out that even though you have a state-of-the-art gaming computer, you still can't play certain games because they are not compatible with the hardware you have.
That's when you shake your fist in the air and scream con.
Yeah, we should also mention that effectively the video card industry is a duopoly.
Mm-hmm.
There are two companies that's essentially – that's who you go to.
Yeah.
There's NVIDIA.
Yep.
And there's AMD.
Yeah.
Also known as ATI back in the day, but AMD
purchased them.
Acquired ATI.
There are others. Intel makes some graphics cards.
Yeah.
You know, and they're really others. But yeah, when we're talking about this, probably the listeners that wanted us to talk about this would already know that those two are the big players.
Yeah.
And they're in a constant game of one-upsmanship.
Yep. The fastest card I could find so far, at least as far as clock speed goes, not performance. Actually, as far as performance goes, it is not the fastest, but with clock speed, without overclocking, is the AMD Radeon HD 7770 gigahertz edition, which it's 1 gigahertz GPU. And again, that's without overclocking. But
hey, that's not that fast. But yeah, when all it's doing, when it's handling primarily graphics, having that dedicated processing power behind it, you know, it, don't sneeze at the 1 gigahertz.
Yeah. Now, again, through the testing, it did not perform at the same level as some of the top of the line, most expensive cards that are out there.
Right.
And part of that is just because, you know, it's more than just the clock speed. We talked about that. So that's kind of the roundup on graphics cards in general. Like we had said, they're being used to process information beyond just graphics because it's got this parallel processing capability. So you can use it for things that require lots of parallel computational problems, things that, you know, there are a lot of scientific and medical applications for that kind of technology. But the one that we talked about most recently is cryptography and cracking codes and using parallel processing to run a brute force attack where you're just running lots and lots of variations on various passwords to try and determine what the hashing algorithm is for a password site.
Yeah. So unless the operating system is specifically assigning it tasks, you would have to have software that specifically directs information to the graphics card.
And, yeah.
The people who
are plenty of that out there.
Yeah, there are programs that specifically tell the GPU to go to work on these problems. So, and then it's not specific enough to where the hardware is. It's like, well, it's not a piece of graphics, so I can't do this.
Right.
You know, it's very capable of handling that. So.
Yep. All right. So I think that wraps up this discussion on video cards. I hope that was satisfying to our listeners who were asking us repeatedly to cover it. Actually, you know, I sound like I'm exhausted by it. I'm not. I like seeing enthusiasm from our listeners. That's very, it's a good thing. So if you are enthusiastically interested in a particular topic and we have not covered it, or perhaps we covered it a long time ago and it's darn near time that we recover it, let us know. Send us a message. You can send us an email. Our address is techstuff@discovery.com, or let us know on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle at both of those is techstuffhsw. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
See, guys, I told you we'd talk to you again really soon. That really soon is right now. I'm just reminding you that we have our photo upload widget live on the site at www.howstuffworks.com/upgradeyourtech. Toyota's giving us the chance to let you share your creativity. So send us those pictures of your modifications, your tech ideas, those gadgets that you've created, all those hacks. If you're steampunking everything in sight, put on your goggles and show that to us. We can't wait to see them.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.